last month and is having a hard time recuperating from that, but I hope she will soon, because we leave in less than 3 weeks to take the airplane back across the ocean. The only good thing is strength is that they'll take her in a wheelchair, and the nice thing about that is that you always get at the beginning of the line in the wheelchair, and I get to follow. If you haven't heard a missionary presentation from Corsica, France, it's because you haven't heard it from me. There are no other independent Baptists in Corsica. And so if you weren't here, then you'll want to be here in the hour that follows. I will be showing you not so much the island of Corsica. Actually, there's a display table as you come in, and you'll have some beautiful views of Corsica. It's a tourist resort, and you'll see that right away. But it's a needy mission field as well. We've been in France for 28 years, 22 of those years in Corsica, and this church has been faithfully supporting the ministry all during our time in France, and we appreciate that and appreciate your prayers. I will give a lot more detail in the hour that follows concerning Wanda's health and concerning our ministry. It'll be a ministry report, and as the pastor said, there will be time for questions and answers, and that'll be the practical thing about using the overhead, is that you'll be able to interrupt at any time and ask questions concerning our ministry. But I always like to give people a little bit of French. I don't know if you know that or not. French is what we consider the most beautiful language in the world. Now, Italians think Italian is, but France is considered the most romantic language. And so Psalm 23 of the Bible goes this way, and you can probably follow in the intonation. L'Éternel est mon berger, je ne manquerai de rien. Il me fait reposer dans de verts pâturages, il me dirige près des eaux paisibles, il restaure mon âme. Quand je marche dans la vallée de l'ombre de la mort, je ne crains aucun mal, car tu es avec moi. Ta houlette et ton bâton me rassurent. Tu dresses devant moi une table en face de mes adversaires. Tu induis ma tête, ma coupe déborde. Oui, le bonheur et la grâce m'accompagneront tous les jours de ma vie, et j'habiterai dans la maison de l'Éternel jusqu'à la fin de mes jours. That's Psalm 23. And I do have one advantage in that I was born and raised on the mission field, and actually I had to learn English. So French comes quite naturally to me. Corsica is an island in the Mediterranean. It's actually closer to Italy than it is to France. Most of you know where Sicily is in Italy, and you've heard a lot about Italy and Rome this week. But I don't know if they've shown you any maps. So Sicily is at the bottom of Italy, and as you go west coast of Italy, another island above Sicily, and that's Sardinia, and that's Italian as well. And right above Sardinia is Corsica, and that was Italian, but it's now. It became French because it had been under Genoan rule, Genoa in Italy. And there was an uprising in Corsica wanting their independence, and so Genoa was not able to subdue the uprising. They called on France's army to help them, and France did, but only in exchange for payment. Genoa was never able to pay, so France took over Corsica, and that's how Corsica became French. And so the people are of Italian origin. Their names are Italian. And as you, I'll be showing you the map, you look at the names of in Corsica, you realize they're Italian. Vecchio, Ajaccio, those are Italian names, but they are French in nationality. Our official language is French. The ministries that we've been involved in there in Corsica, and you'll be able to see that in the transparencies in a little while, the radio broadcast, and our radio, I guess there are no Christians. Radio is on a non-Christian radio. Christian, but it's evangelistic, the broadcast is, and of course that's the best place for the gospel to be, is on a non-Christian radio station. It's in an ideal time. It's 7:02 in the morning. 7 o'clock you have the headlines of the news, then the weather, and then the gospel. And after that, you have rock music for the invitation. No. So that's the best place, and we praise the Lord for that. Now, if you've been following our correspondence, you've known that it's been suspended for a few months now because we've had problems with the transmitter. But I'll explain the good part about the broadcast being suspended, because as a part, there's a greater blessing that's going to come about, and you'll know more about that in the hour to come. We've also been involved in Bible expositions. This is a collection not only of Bibles, but of charts, documents, information concerning the Bible. If you put tables like you have in the foyer there, all around this room, we have enough material to fill the tables around this room. And so it's a very extensive collection of Bibles and documents concerning the Bible. There's also one table, well, about besides tables, Bibles, and that's there mainly to incite people to come, you know, that are curious, that enjoy old books, but especially old Bibles. The oldest dates back to 1631, so it's a pretty old Bible, and I'll tell you in a few minutes, in the hour to come, that is, how the Lord blessed us. We've had Bible expositions in public halls in all the towns and villages and cities in Corsica, about 3,000 in population. But what has been even greater is that we've been able to hold them in libraries. In the university library, we had a Bible exposition. In the public library of Porto Vecchio, we had a Bible exposition. More recently, in the main library of the large city of Bastia, we had Bible exposition as well. Able to get the regional television to come out and make a report that they had on the news twice because of that. And that's, you know, we're talking about France. And I don't need to tell you about France. You've heard a lot about France in the past almost 2 years. And so the Lord has been good to us in allowing us all those opportunities. In fact, a magazine came out in France. This is one of the main news magazines in France, the Nouvel Observateur. The title on that is Les Évangéliques, la secte qui veut conquérir le monde, the evangelicals, the cult that seeks to conquer the world. Now, when you're considered cult in Europe, that doesn't help at all. Because combined with the word cult is the word dangerous, suspicion. It's always the case in France. And so for all of us evangelicals to be grouped together and considered a cult doesn't help us, because people get very suspicious of us. But what makes it even more complicated for us is right under that title is the photo of George Bush. There's a whole series of articles in this magazine. All of them are basically destined to communicate to the French people that what the Arab leaders are seeking to do politically by using the Islamic religion, George Bush is seeking to do politically by using the evangelicals. And you know that George Bush is not popular in France, and that helps us even less. So to be considered a cult and to be considered associated with George Bush and his political agenda for the world, that doesn't help us at all. And these are things that we can't put in our letters, and you understand why. It's not wise to do that. And so that's why I'm taking the opportunity for you to share that with you, so that you can pray in a wiser way for mission work in general in France. Another avenue of ministry we're involved in is camp ministries, and we'll be talking more about that, as well as, since I've been here the last time, we've been involved in teaching modules in a couple independent Baptist institutes, training future leaders to take over our churches, and then been involved in evangelistic campaigns, helping other missionaries that don't have the means to bring in an evangelist. well, go in there and conduct some evangelistic meetings for them. And so we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. This morning, I'd like to challenge you about conquering the world with the gospel, but not with a political agenda, with a spiritual agenda. I'd like for you to take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Joshua chapter 14. I'll not take time to read the entire text. You're probably quite familiar with all of this. The context is that God is seeking to bring his people that were in slavery in Egypt for a period of 400 years, bringing them out of slavery to repossess the land that belonged to them. And their father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had been taken over by a number of people, and they were all wanted them to repossess the land that belonged to them and to their fathers. And so he led them to that. They crossed the desert and went there. But most of the people feared to go in and repossess the land because, well, even though it was a very beautiful land, it had been well cultivated since, it was very fruitful. They had built cities since. They were beautiful cities, fortified cities. And yet there was an obstacle. There was a major obstacle. Yes, the cities were fortified. There were walls around, kind of like the citadels. There were also giants. They had armies. They were protected. And these people were slaves. They didn't have an army. They didn't have any arms. They weren't organized. They weren't prepared for that. And so, in spite of the fact that God promised for them to repossess that land, yet they doubted. Their faith was weak. They doubted. And they did not lay hold of the promise. And therefore, they were not able to repossess the land. Now, I'd like to draw a parallel between what happens in this passage and what God has asked us to do in the mission that He's given us. What is the mission given to each one of us? It's not given to missionaries. It's given to the church. And each one of us that is born again is a member of the universal church. More specifically, we have a visible church in the local churches that can organize to carry out the mission that He has given us. The mission that Jesus Christ has given us is not His mission. His mission is to build the church. He said, "I will build my church." That's His mission. What's our part? He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's our mission. And as you look at the world around us, you can say, "Well, Andrew, do you think we're able to do that? Now, go into all the world, yes. We've got missionaries scattered in most of the areas of the world, but preach the gospel to every creature? Is that possible?" And most of us would have to admit that we have some doubts. I don't know if that's possible. Well, just as that land seemed to be an impossible thing to conquer, it seems to us it's an impossible thing for us to conquer the world with the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet, let's be challenged by what Caleb says. And we read that in verse 12 of chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, verse 12. Caleb is speaking. He says, "Now, therefore," and this is 45 years after they had sent in the first spies. They were condemned in the desert for 45 years. And after the 45 years, Caleb says, "Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim," they were the giants, "were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." Could we say this morning, would we allow our vision to grow and our faith to grow to the extent that we would say something like Caleb, Give me the mountain of this world. If so be, the Lord will be with us, and we will preach the gospel to every creature. That's what I'd like for us to think about today. Can you imagine the father of a four-year-old boy saying, "My son, I'd like for you to sit down on a chair at this table, and I'm going to give you an algebra problem, and I want you to solve it." "Okay, Johnny, here's your problem. I need for you to solve it." And Johnny looks at it, and he's having a hard time. He doesn't even understand the question. Daddy says, "Now, Johnny, I want you to think about it. Now, concentrate. You spend some time, and just stay there a while and think about it. I want you to solve this algebra problem." And Johnny's trying to be an obedient boy, and he's looking, and he's trying to sound. And he can't figure it out. "Daddy, I don't understand." "Now, come on, Johnny. Make an effort." And finally, tears are running down his eyes. It's a very unreasonable. His little four-year-old boy to solve an algebra problem. Isn't that unreasonable? My friends, do you think God is unreasonable? Would God give us a mission knowing that we could never accomplish it and frustrate us during our entire lives and ministries and say, "Lord, you've given us Cedar Rapids here. We preach the gospel to every inhabitant in Cedar Rapids." Are we ever going to do that? And at the end of every year, say, "Have we done it?" "No, we haven't done it." "Okay, let's try for next year." And at the end of next year, "Have we done it?" "No, we haven't done it." "Okay, let's try for next year." And at the end of the following year, and during our entire lives, say, "Well, there is no way we can do that. How frustrating." No, I don't think God is in the business of frustrating us. He's a very reasonable person. He's God. And he knows that we could not do it within our own power. But do you know a verse in the Bible that says, "With God all things are possible"? Yes. And that's how he's going to glorify himself, is in allowing us to accomplish a mission that we would not be able to accomplish in and of ourselves. Let's talk about this. In all ages, God has sought to glorify himself through the unusual. He has given us an unusual mission. And if we seek only the usual, we will miss the mission. And so let's seek to do the unusual. And I rejoice with you in how your church has grown since I was here, not only numerically, but also in the buildings, doubling your space here. That's fantastic. That's wonderful. We praise the Lord. I'd like to suggest to you that the mission that Caleb did was a great mission. That's the first facet of God's extraordinary mission for Caleb, first facet of his extraordinary mission for us. In fact, God planned, he designed to give us a mission that we could not accomplish in and of ourselves. He has called us, and I use the word call, he has called us to accomplish a mission that we could not do in and of ourselves. Let me quote to you 1 Corinthians 1, 26-27. "Ye see your calling, brethren." All of us are brothers in Christ. It's the call that belongs to each one of us as a child of God. "You see your calling, brethren. God has chosen the weak things of the world," that's us, "to confound the wise. The things which are mighty. Why did you do that, God?" He answers the question, "That no man should glorify his presence, that no man should glorify in him. God doesn't want us to get to heaven someday and say, Lord, good thing you called us here at Blair Ridge, you know. Without us, I don't know what you would have done in Cedar Rapids. Good thing you called Andrew, because if we hadn't supported Andrew, I don't know how you would have done over there in France. No, he wants us to get to heaven someday and say, Lord, you did some mighty wonderful things, and there is no way we could have done that. This was your hand. All glory be to you. A great man. Why was it so great? Well, the cities were fortified. There were Anakim. There were giants there. You know, God's plan is a great plan for us. It is a great one. He has called us, Jude 23 says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Pulling them out of the fire. Ever since 9/11, we have a much greater appreciation for firefighters, don't we? These men are firefighters saving lives. We are firefighters saving souls. And what examples they were as they entered those towers, knowing they were heading for a torch, risking their lives, and they did. God hasn't asked us to risk our lives, but he's asked us to go and save souls. It's a great plan. It's a big plan that which he's given to us. It's a wonderful plan, and he has given us the power to do so. In fact, listen to these few quotations from the Bible. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high, God's power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto the uttermost parts of the world. Paul says, I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. And on, many verses we could quote concerning the power that God wants to give us and empower us to accomplish the great mission. Not only is it a great mission, it is a hard mission. Why is it a hard mission? Well, there were giants. In fact, the spies, when they came back, they said, we felt like grasshoppers compared to them. I don't know if you know what grasshoppers are like. There are crickets, but grasshoppers are quite a bit bigger than crickets. We had them in Algeria, North Africa, where I was born and raised. And they're probably four, five, six times the size of a cricket. But I tell you, as a 10-year-old boy, I was never intimidated by a grasshopper. We played with them. I'm going to say play, some would consider mutilating. And I can see these men looking at the giants and feeling like grasshoppers. They could mutilate us and feel like they were just playing with us. There were giants. That's why it's a hard mission. We have a hard mission. We have a hard mission here in Cedar Rapids as well. We have spiritual giants. And when you're confronted with difficulty and you wonder sometimes why you can't go forward, just remember, there are spiritual giants. Ephesians 6:12 talks about it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers in the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are giants out there that are bigger than we are, that we are confronted to every day. But the power that is within us is greater than the power that is in the world. And so, let us meet the challenge of the day. It is a hard mission. It's a hard mission because there are a few warriors, too. And compared to the United States, there are many less in France. France is considered one of the greatest mission fields of the world in terms of mission fields that are open to receiving missionaries. And this verse from the Bible that you know very well, because every missionary almost quotes it, it's a verse that puts the accent on the real problem. The real problem is not the giants. Read. Then saith he unto his disciples, Christ is speaking, the truly harvest truly is plenteous. The problem is not the harvest, but the laborers are few. The harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. Maybe you would want to be a laborer for Christ in a field where there are few. You know, when Jesus says, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Reason with me a little bit. If we are to pray that he would send forth laborers in the harvest because the harvest is plenteous and the problem is that the laborers are few, don't you think that if we set aside laborers to go to the harvest fields, we should also, wouldn't it be logical to send them there where there are the fewest laborers? Rather than keeping them here where we want to have them here in the States. Oh, we need more help in the States, that's true. But if you need more help in the States, we need 500 times more help in France. And if the reason for praying for laborers is because there are so few, then we should send them first where they are the fewest. Yes, it's a hard mission. A great mission, a hard mission. Lastly, a successful mission. A successful mission. The fields are white already to harvest. That means if we would go, people would respond. No, not all of them, but people would respond. I like serving the Lord, and your service for the Lord in this church is a wonderful thing. It's greater than anything you can do in this sense. You know, there are a lot of things that you do and a lot of things we invest money and time in, and sometimes we don't know for sure if we've accomplished much. Have you ever felt that way? In spiritual things as well as in daily occupations. Invest in a big project, but did it accomplish its purpose? One thing about ministering for the Lord is this. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When you serve the Lord, everything you do is not in vain. Not a single thing you do, it's in vain. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. You know that you're investing your time in something that will produce. Ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so, friends, let's look to the mission fields. Let's look to the need. Every creature needs to hear the gospel. Everyone in the world. Will we be like the 12 spies at the giants and say, oh my, they're too big. Look at the cities, they're fortified. We'll never be able to accomplish it. Will we focus on the obstacles or will we focus on the promise? The promise is, go and lo, I will be with you. Let's focus on the promise. And let's go to every creature here in Cedar Rapids greater area, every creature in France, in Corsica, and in the entire world, and claim the promise and meet the giants in God's power. Thank you. God bless you, Pastor.